in all wisdom and insight. Now, the words wisdom and insight, basically, the word for wisdom here is Sophia. Sophomores, you probably have heard the root of that word many times, but it means wisdom. It seems to indicate in more of a theoretical way. Wisdom as far as understanding. And perhaps the difference between wisdom and insight is the idea insight might be translated prudence, but it's the idea that we walk according to knowledge, according to wisdom, according to godly wisdom and knowledge. And so God lavished upon us this grace in all wisdom and prudence that we might understand. And He has made known to us the mystery of His will. We don't understand the full plan and purpose of God, do we? But we do understand that God in Christ Jesus is planning to unfold events that are quite awesome and amazing. In Sunday school today, we looked in 2 Peter at the end time events that would be unfolding and taking place. And those are awesome things. And there will be judgments that we will stand before. Mankind will answer to their Creator for. And many things will happen. The millennial kingdom, there will be the reign of Christ upon earth, and where He reigns over the throne of David. In fact, take your Bibles and let's hold that verse 9 there and switch over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're just going to take a look at these verses from verse 20. But now Christ, this is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, over a few books in front of Ephesians there. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Okay, but look at these verses. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after that those who are in Christ at his coming, that would be us. Verse 24, then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to God, to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. Okay, so there's going to come a time when Christ will, at the end, he will deliver up to the Father, the kingdom, God's kingdom. God's plan and God's purposes means the bringing under subjection His creation, bringing to an end the fall. Look at verse 25. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. And I believe that includes the millennial kingdom of Christ, where Christ will reign on the throne of David and the nations will be brought under subjection. So we look at the book of Revelation, it talks about the nations being brought under subjection to Christ. Then it says that he binds Satan for 1,000 years and that he reigns upon earth. And after that time, there's some other events that take place. And these events that are being mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and what's being mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1 in the fact that He made known to us the mystery of His will has to do with God's plan. God's plan to bring all things, put all of His enemies under His feet. Look at verse 26. The last enemy that will be abolished is death, for He has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when He says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that He is accepted who put all things in subjection to Him. And when all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subjected to the One who subjected all things to Him, that God may be all in all. So what's that saying? It's saying that God the Father, at the resurrection, He said, because Christ came and thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God, but came down, took upon Himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, became obedient to death. Therefore, it says, God highly exalted Him and gave Him a name above every name, that things in heaven and things in earth and things under earth, would every knee would bow and that every tongue would confess that He is Lord to the glory of the Father. Lord. He is Master. He is King of Kings. He rules over all things. And that's the plan, that's the purpose of the Father, is to subject things under the headship of Jesus Christ. Get excited. I mean, this is awesome stuff. Because we as God's people have been called to be His children, to be a part of His kingdom. We have a part here. God has intended for us to engage. And not only has He intended for us to engage, He has unfolded, He has laid forth, He has supplied, provided everything that is needed in the sufficient heavenly treasures of Christ for us to accomplish His will. Isn't that awesome? There's nothing that He has not called you to do that He has not supplied sufficiently for you to do it. Now that's great news. Because I don't know about you, but in the calling that God has given to me, I have just time and again found insufficiency in myself. You know, I can't handle that. God, how am I going to deal with these things? But the one comforting thing is to pull yourself back and say, God, You called me to this. And if You call me to this, then You have to supply the wisdom. You will supply the wisdom. You have to supply the strength. Because You're Almighty God. And this is not my business, this is Your business. That's awesome. I can't think of a better way to live my life than living it in light of that truth and that reality. Knowing that what God has called you to, He will most assuredly supply to you. Heavenly treasures, all that is needed for you to live according to the preordained purposes that God has given to you. He has supplied sufficiently for the believer. Let's look. Look on here. We're looking at verse 9 there in your Bibles. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention. It was His kindness, His love, His mercy that He has made known such things which He purposed in Him with a view. Now this word for administration is the same word that we use for dispensation. But it's the idea that God ordains, that He has administered, He has a plan. And God's thought about everything. Have you ever thought about that? He hasn't left anything undone in your life. He's thought about everything. He knows about your life. He knows the purpose that He has for you. It is designed with every intricate detail. He has planned your life out. Predestined, preordained, purposed, and it's all in Christ, under His headship. Christ is the head and we're the body. Some the eyes, some the mouth, some the ears. We function, we have different functions, but God has orchestrated it. In the power of His might and by His mighty hand, by His purposes, He has orchestrated exactly what He's planning to do. Grace Bible Church will accomplish His purposes. You know, there's a call to us. There's an appeal to our hearts, our volition. And the question always ultimately becomes, will my heart trust God? Lord, let my heart trust You. Will I look to Almighty God to know the power and the strength and the grace and the provision for His purposes? And if we do, if we trust Him in such a way, we will see marvelous things. Marvelous things. Because He's not restrained by anything. With God, all things are possible. But we are functionally unbelievers. Because we live safely and securely within the confines of how much can I trust God with my life today. Rather than abandoning ourselves to know that He has an administration, verse 10, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up. And I like this word is a kind of a weird word, but basically it means under the headship. But what Christ is doing is He's pulling everything together. The judgment of the nations. He's pulling the binding of Satan for the millennial kingdom where sin will be removed. The curse that's placed upon the earth is going to be removed under Christ's rule. under His headship, under Him, these things are going to be brought back under subjection. Sin will be removed, and He will execute justice righteously on the earth for 1,000 years. At the end of that time, Satan will be released, and all of these things are under the headship of Jesus Christ, which you have been called to as the bride of Jesus Christ. You're not a part. The Lord Jesus told His disciples, "You will reign with Me over the 12 tribes of Israel." Do you believe that He meant what He said? You're going to reign with Me over the 12 tribes of Israel. Was He speaking literally? Yes, He was. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. Scripture says that we're going to judge angels. Well, let's suck it up here, because we need to get with it. If we're going to be judging angels, we need to know what we're about. We need to know and marvel and wonder and delve into the depths of the calling of God and the predestined purposes of God for His people, and look at the heavenly treasures that are in Christ Jesus and be lavished in those treasures of God's grace. These are the things that mean so much and that we need to look forward to. Look at verse 10. "With a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times," that is, the heading up of all things in Christ, "things in the heavens and things upon the earth." Now, what does that mean? Spiritual, invisible things, angelic beings, ranks of angels, everything is going to be brought under Christ's subjection. Things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, everything, every created thing will be brought under the headship and subjection of Jesus Christ. And He's our Lord and Savior. He's the one that has called you, put His stamp upon you. So we have the work of revelation, the things that He has revealed to us. We need to meditate on these things and think about living the Christian life in light of this truth. In a real way, we got to move out of the functions of playing church to believe God, to trust Him, to know His predestined purposes for His people. Next, the Son's inheritance in verse 11. Let's look at that verse. "Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." Now, I love this, because he turns around and he goes back to this predestination thing. And I believe that it has much to do with what Paul wanted to say to the Ephesians, and maybe the Holy Spirit wants to say to us this morning. Through Jesus Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. And I believe this is a proper interpretation. There are some really good commentators that say we have become, or we've been chosen as an inheritance. This word is the word that's used for choosing lots. Like the lots that were given to Israel when they for the tribes, they selected or chose the particular parcel of land. They drew it by lots. But this is not the idea that God is by chance just picking here or there. God does it according to His personality and according to His purposes. But the idea with we are chosen as a heritage is the idea that we are God's allotment. We are Christ's heritage. He saved us. And there's a good argument for this particular interpretation of this verse. I believe, though, that Paul is speaking to believers here and saying that we have obtained an inheritance in Christ. That means that we have a part. That means that within the plan and orchestrated purposes of God, that we as believers in our inheritance will lay up rewards, eternal rewards, that we will enjoy for all eternity. And, you know, in Ephesians it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before ordained that we should walk in them." For each one of us, there is within God's overall will and plan and purpose, there is a part, a portion that has been given to us, that we that would be adopted into His family, walking by faith, would know the power of God and demonstrate the power of God to the subjection of a world that's in rebellion against Him. Now that's what we're called to. Good works ordained by God, that flow through us by the grace and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, His life working and functioning through us. That's the inheritance that we have. So in Christ, we've got redemption. We've got revelation, a knowledge of the big picture. And we've got inheritance, a portion in God's plan and purpose. Those are huge things. Now, let's think about what it might be like if we were standing in King Tut's treasury there and we saw these wonderful treasures. But what Paul is getting at and what you should be experiencing in your heart right now is marvel, wonder that God could do and would do such great and miraculous and marvelous things. If you don't have that, go home and meditate till you get it. Because these are the riches of God's grace, the wonderful power and of His goodness. Let's think just for a few seconds here, a few moments here. And there was an incident in Matthew chapter 20, which the Lord, it was recorded for us, I believe. Look at these verses. Read them with me. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request of Jesus. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and one on your left." Now this is interesting to me. Okay, so here's a request. Jesus, you're Lord. Okay, grant that my sons will sit on your right and left hand. But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you're asking for." Remember when it says, Paul, my chosen instrument, is going to represent me before Gentiles and kings. These guys were going to be martyred. And this mom didn't know what was coming up in the future. And Jesus here is saying, "You don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" Now, that cup was His crucifixion. It was the sufferings of Christ. And they said to Him, this is James and John responding, the sons of Zebedee there, "We are able." He said to them, "My cup you shall drink," because they would be martyred. "But to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give. But it's for those to whom it has been," watch this, "prepared by my Father." That's fascinating to me. Okay, but if we go back to Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is taking what Christ taught, and he's saying the same things. The Father calls, the Father predestines for the particular portion or inheritance that is allotted to each person, and the Father has that within His plan. In eternity past, the Father planned such things. So who sits on my right and left-hand side in the kingdom? You 12 are going to rule over the tribes of Israel, but who sits here and there? That's the predestined, preordained plan of my Father. He's the one that determines who does that. And so we see some of these rich treasures that are spoken. Again, we see the Apostle Paul. Now, let's think about this. He said, keep going back to this verse, but he was God's chosen instrument to bear His name, a predestined plan that God had to bear His name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. Now let's think about it. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's on a ship going to Rome. He went to Rome because he determined to go to Jerusalem, and he knew that they were going to imprison him there. And he knew in his heart he had been given and communicated by God that he was going to go to Rome and represent God before before Caesar. And in fact, in these letters, the Apostle Paul in Philippians, these letters went out together to this area, this community. In Philippians, he said, "Do not feel bad because I'm in bonds here, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is going out to the Praetorian Guard. Many have come to know Jesus Christ because God put me in prison here. Because in God's predestined plan and purpose, He ordained for me to be here." Think about it. Apostle Paul's going from Israel. He's on a ship and it wrecks. Okay? And here's Paul. "Oh, God, why are you doing these things to me? Why is life so hard?" No, not Paul. It was communicated to Paul that those on the ship would be given to him. Remember, he got off on the island at, what was it, Malta? Or I can't remember. And they're picking up sticks. Here's a bunch of shipwrecked men, and they're picking up sticks. And this poisonous viper strikes Paul on his hand. And the scripture says that Paul takes the viper, shakes him off, and throws him in the fire. And goes about his business. How does he do that? How does someone live that way? You see, here's the deal. The Apostle Paul was called by God for predestined purposes, one of which was going to Rome. Nothing could stop him. Nothing can stop you when God has called you for His predestined, preordained purposes. Do you understand that? It's huge. The Apostle Paul shook that snake off into the fire, and those men, when they brought Paul into Rome, they had stories to tell. They said, this guy, he ain't a normal guy. You know, but here was a man simply by faith walking with God, willing to believe God, and being used incredibly, supernaturally by God. There's absolutely nothing that hinders you from experiencing that kind of Christian life. I tell you this because it is true. And, you know, you say, well, that was the Apostle Paul, and he was apostle, and, you know, I'm who I am. But when I went to Moldova, and I've shared this story with you before, but there was a missionary there that walked through a barrage of bullets that came from the pistols of the Moldovan mafia, and they intended to kill him. And he walked through this barrage of bullets. Now, how did he do that? How did he have that kind of peace? He walked through the bullets. He went upstairs, greeted his wife and his two teenage kids, and he didn't leave. You know why he didn't leave? Because he was predestined by God to be a missionary to Moldova. And it didn't matter if the Moldovan mafia was trying to kill him. You see, that's the Christian life. We can live that way. No, Grace Bible Church can experience the realities of life in Christ Jesus in such a way, with all of these riches. 2 Timothy, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Paul's in prison. You say, well, man, this isn't too great of a life, is it? But join with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He was granted in Christ Jesus from all eternity. And there's another passage there, but let's move on. And Ephesians 1, 12 and 13 says, it is to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. And let me just say that that glory, that approval or applause is the idea of it magnifies His perfections. The grace of God is demonstrated in Christ Jesus. The richness of His provision and plan and purposes. And you'll notice that after the Father, it says to the praise of His glory. After the benefits of the Son, the redemption, the revelation, and the inheritance, it says, to the praise of His glory. And so God's grace, approval, or applause, it is to be recognized. Okay, let me close just with this. We have a heavenly bank account with riches beyond measure, and the only constraint would be our lack of faith to draw from the riches that are stacked up in the room. Just like King's Touch treasures there, if they're stored away in a room, what benefit are they? But if we draw from that account, if we draw by faith from Jesus Christ, what benefit, what treasure we have in Him. Let me close with an illustration. Some number of years ago, I was at a camp, and actually it was Panama City Beach, Florida. And we were out on the beaches. We were sharing the gospel, and we were training people to share the gospel. We got into a conversation with two young men and a young lady. And in that conversation, basically the question of election came up. And this one guy said, well, you know, I'm just not elect. And he said, I've tried to live the Christian life, and it's, you know, and I went very carefully through the gospel, explained that in Christ Jesus, God has given to us a free gift of eternal life that is received, can only be received by faith. And at the end of the conversation, it was basically, I can't, you know, I'm not ready for this. So God gave me this boldness, but I looked at him and I said, you know, it is true that you may or may not be elect. Nobody knows that question. But let's say that you're going home, and they were there in Florida from Georgia or Atlanta, I can't remember, or Alabama, I can't remember which one. I said, let's say that you get in the car today and you go home and you die in an accident. And I say, well, how are you going to stand before God? And how will you argue before God? If God sent me here to present to you a free gift of eternal life, and for whatever reasons you rejected and did not receive that free gift, how will you argue before him? What will you say when you stand before God? Will you some way be innocent? Will you have some kind of argument that will demonstrate why it is that though you were offered by God in Jesus Christ the free gift of eternal life, you did not receive it? And they did not answer that question. But it's a question. It's the ultimate question. And the gift is there freely given to all who would believe in Jesus Christ. And we need to be about spreading that gospel. He has called us to speak the gospel of truth. Father in heaven, we thank you for the rich treasures that are in Christ Jesus. Fill us up with the knowledge of you and your word. May we grow in that knowledge and our walk with you, Lord, in light of those heavenly treasures that are in Christ Jesus. And we pray for our graduates. Give them your grace as they walk with you. May they know the fullness of your power at work within their life. And may they trust you and know your strength as they go through their days. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.